With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
The Cowboys had no problem opening up the season with a 35-17 win against the NFC East rival Giants. Ezekiel Elliott ended up with 53 yards and a touchdown, but the day was all about Dak Prescott. Dak had over 400 passing yards, four touchdowns, and a perfect passer rating, all while he continues to negotiate for a contract extension that Jerry Jones said after the game was, quote, imminent. We're now joined by Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick. Good morning.
Can't so wait for this.
We got to ask you about Dak. Will he be a top 10 quarterback by the end of the season?
I think Dak can be a top 5 quarterback.
Whoa, yes.
There you go, Mike.
Keep talking.
Listen, I mean,
keep talking. You know, I'm going to lay out the rest of the show.
Right.
You do it once, you can do it again. And Dak has done it over and over and over again. And with, immense amount of pressure, week one, contract hanging in the balance. You know, to go out there and be that accurate, that efficient, the ball distribution was on display. He looked like he was in the top 5 right now. But look, the ceiling is high for Dak, and he's going to continue to get better. And, you know, with the coaching staff around him in, you know, year four, correct?
Yeah.
Knowing Dak probably has, you know, the ultimate amount of input where he can, you know, pretty much put a game plan together himself. You know, I think him and Jason Garrett can, you know, sit down and talk about what really works. And, you know, when you get to that point, it makes the game really easy for you. And I think the biggest caveat is Ezekiel Elliott being on the field. You know, I mean, two deep defenses was just getting exposed yesterday. I mean, off the play action.
Yeah.
And that's the reasoning for having Zeke there. That's his impact that he has when he's on the field. And, I mean, they're only going to get better. It's just week one. And once he gets paid, he's really going to be motivated. So I'm excited to watch this Dallas Cowboys team, you know, throughout the duration of the season. And I will say this as of right now, into the playoffs, they're a very talented team.
Yeah. What say you, Shannon Sharp?
see, Michael, baby.
Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I mean, I'm looking, okay, Brady, my homeboy, Breeze, Rodgers, walking to him, and Rivers. That's six
Who's
guys.
Walking to him?
You know who that
I don't
is.
Know who
oh, walking is. To him wins.
Huh? Oh, you know.
Oh, Carson walking to him wins. You see what he did to DJ yesterday?
Oh, the Eagles quarterback. I forgot about him.
Oh, walking to him. And DJ still can run, can't he, Mike?
DJ still can run. I called him right after the game, like, bro, you still got it.
Yeah.
That's been his argument all year. Like, they say I got it, I still got it.
I tried to tell Skip Bayless that anyway. He ain't going to be top 5, Mike. You got carried away. I mean, I understand. You know, sometimes, you know, you go
optimism.
You go to a new restaurant and the food tastes like, oh, man, this is the best barbecue I ever had. No, good and well, you done had barbecue better than that, but that's just the barbecue you eat right now. And so what you just saw yesterday, you saw Dak, 400 yards, 25 completions, and they're like, woo, boy. The Giants you can throw for 350 right now against that Giants defense.
I mean, but this is the NFL. Yep.
That defense bad.
Get that.
The defense bad, though, Mike. Was the defense bad? Yes or no?
Man, they still had Janoris Jenkins out there.
He ain't gonna cover one person.
I'm trying to think of.
Okay, they can let go. The Giants defense last year was the worst defense in the NFC East, and they lose Olivier Vernon and they lose Landon Collins. So how do they get better? Yeah. And you play in cover two because you want to stop the run, so you don't want Zeke to get off. Well, you got Ogletree stepping up, bro. You got two deep. You got the hole. Why are you worried about the run? Yeah. If they run the ball, you say, coach, you need to call another defense so I can come downhill. But in this defense right here, I got hole responsibility. He taking the play fake, Randall Cobb right behind him, taking the play fake, Coop right behind him. Come on, Skip, you stop that. This is one thing. You coined the term prisoner of the moment. Mm-hmm. Now that's what you've become. You've become the very thing that you asked people not to do.
Is it my turn?
No, it's not your turn. I didn't tell you could go out and see what you did. You coined the term prisoner of the moment. Yes, you did.
And I'm not one.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Mm. And what you ask people not to do, Skip Bayless has come to the very thing he hated the most in a person. See something, oh, that's the best thing I've ever seen before in my life. Mm-hmm. Come on, Skip. Mm. You know the Giants are, Skip, I'm not saying what I like to see. Is a quarterback, when you're supposed to do something, you go do it. The Cowboys didn't make this a nip-tuck ball game.
That's true.
They're the much better football team than the Giants. And they was on display. Mm. But you go overboard. Mm. Now you got the guy. So in other words, do I need to call Blair Buzzwell? He's the guy that makes the bus for the Hall of Fame. Do I need to call him?
Maybe.
And tell him to come right. To get the.
You could give him a little heads up.
I ain't get no heads up. No. Yeah. No.
My turn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's hear it.
I want to explain to those out there who might have forgotten, this man could really play quarterback. He gave me some of the most, as a fan, some of the most electrifying moments I've ever had on my couch. The Michael Vick experience in Atlanta and the first
full
year.
Display.
The first year in Philadelphia. It was, there was that one Monday night game. Whew.
That was against Washington. That was against Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy's been there and done all that, and he knows how hard it is to play quarterback in this league.
It's the only reason I say what I say.
That is correct. This young man was a tour de force yesterday. He showed you coming of age. But I've been telling you this since last year, because here's the point. Statistically, over the last 10 games last year, he was a top five quarterback already. And you kept saying, no, no, no. And I kept saying, the stats are screaming, yes, yes, yes. Once he got Amari Cooper, he took off. And all of a sudden, he's got beyond Amari Cooper because Michael Gallup he's come of age. You could just see it on full display yesterday. He has a bona fide, legitimate number two receiver who can get behind people.
Run.
And I told you all offseason, Randall Cobb is an upgrade over Cole Beasley. And I love Cole Beasley. And he's great in little zing-zing routes, little in and outs, little 5-7 yard, third and five gains. But Randall Cobb can run past people.
Yeah.
We saw it on opening night a year ago when he caught the winning touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers.
Finally, he looks healthy.
Okay, he looks healthy because he can run, and you can do things with him out of the slot that make you he's like a you know, sort of a 2A receiver. He's like maybe another number two kind of receiver.
Yeah.
Now you have weapons that over the final six or seven games, when Zeke was out in 2017, Dak had nobody that he trusted and loved. And last year, until Amari came, he had nobody he trusted and loved. Then he takes off, and over the last 10 games, and you will not acknowledge this or embrace it, he led the NFL in completions. He led the NFL in postseason QBR. He was tremendous in both the two playoff games, but you won't buy in because you're dug in and you're just going to have to sit over there and eat crow and crow. I hope you like your crow. What do you like on it? Barbecue sauce?
You're talking real big now.
Yeah,
I'm talking real big.
I've been talking big since last year.
But guess what?
They went 8-2 down the stretch because of this guy.
He's talking big because guess what? He has Washington on the schedule, and he has Miami in 2 weeks, who just gave up 59. Mm. So he's talking real big and bad, but I want you to have that
then
same
we
type
got
of energy.
At Drew Brees.
We
beat Drew Brees last year.
I need that energy.
You'll get it.
NFC is tough right now.
And I want you to have the energy. Mm. When you play walking to him, when you play the Patriots, that's the kind of energy
I have it last year? They walked it right to him last year twice.
They beat him twice. Did you see him?
Wait a second. My quarterback in the 2 fourth quarters against Philly last year and one overtime, he threw for 331.
Yeah,
that's a lot of yards. 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 24 of 28. He just put on displays of greatness.
He was hurt, but he's not hurt, and he got D-Jack.
Oh, okay.
And D-Jack can take the top off. Because, Skip, you saw what Eli was doing with y'all. Mm. Eli was throwing to Latimer and Fowler that the Broncos waived.
Mm.
That's who he's throwing to.
Now
he got D-Jack.
Is Evan Ingram any good?
Oh, yeah, I love him. I love him coming out of college. Oh, but D-Jack and Alshon and Ertz.
It's got weapons.
It'll be a good matchup. Both teams will be primed and ready for each other.
Primed and ready. You come see us.
The thing I think about when I mentioned what I said about Dak and just his transformation in 2017 when it was really tough, when he didn't have weapons,
And he didn't have Zeke.
And he didn't have Zeke.
And he didn't have his
left
hand.
It still didn't look as bad. He still looked like he had potential to be what he looked like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then you get him give him a number one receiver. You continue to build on the offensive line. Bring Zeke back, and then he shows his full potential. I look at potential. You know, I look at, you know, the opportunities that's going to come about down the road where he'll be able to put on a bigger stage, and I just think he can handle it right now. I mean, he's just, he's on another Shannon, stratosphere as far as where he's at
he
mentally
took it
as
up
a quarterback.
Level. I don't care if he was playing a college defense. I don't care less. Defense.
I'm a quarterback.
Of course not. You want them numbers. Mm. I mean, the thing is, you get a fish, what you do? You catch it, take it to the market. Mm. Yeah, so they had a fish on the line. Yes. You know, Mike, but you just see, we got fish out here today.
Shannon, what did you
just don't let him get off the line.
What did your eye test tell you?
My eye test said the Giants were terrible. That's what my eye told me.
Think about this, Shannon. The bomb he threw to Gallup on the left side, the one that dropped in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I look, and the
that
one
ball could have easily sailed out of bounds. Mm-hmm. But been incomplete. Accuracy issue.
So we ain't gonna talk about
it.
We ain't gonna talk about the DB up there in the press position.
It opened
the gate. Hold on. You know what, Mike? I'm glad you brought that up. Did you know 12 of his 25 completion had 2 yards? Or more separation? Mm. So let me ask you a question.
That's a credit to the receivers.
Mm-hmm. Weapons.
What about the DBs? Mm-hmm. Can you get closer to 2 yards?
Wait, who's your favorite DB? He still plays for the Giants. Oh, what about Janoris Jenkins?
Jenkins was out there.
Ran McCobb. Was he out there? Ran McCobb touchdown. He was 7 yards clear. Mm. Blake Jarwin was 5. Mm. Jason Witten, 3 yards. Okay. Hell, hold on. I guarantee you right now, if you know that you're going to protect me because Dak didn't even get hit. Dak didn't get sacked one time.
He got hit a bunch of times.
Stop it.
That throw that dropped in the bucket, go play that tape again if you didn't get blasted.
That didn't hurt. But hey, all I'm telling you is, if you let me have 25 attempts and I'm only going to get hit twice and the receiver, half of them going to be 2 yards or more open, I guarantee y'all get me some completion. Mm. I guarantee you.
No doubt. Mm. Better.
But hold on. I ain't played quarterbacks in high school. Mm. I graduated with 86 skip. Mm. That last time I played quarterback, I go out there right now. At 51 years of age, 47, I could be Tom Brady playing if they could play like that.
Really?
It's not that easy.
It is not.
Yes.
It's
that easy. Not that easy.
It's
that
easy.
It's that easy.
Are we getting this on tape?
If it was that easy, I'll come back.
Yeah, no, exactly. Everyone would be making a return.
They can't hit you now, Mike. They can't do nothing.
I'll come back.
They can't
for
do
that
anything.
Reason alone.
Skip, you are okay, Skip. I get it. He had a great day throwing the ball, and that's what you want
to
see.
I tried to tell you the whole offseason. He finally got a play caller that he's tight with, that Kellen Moore, they're like soulmates. Boy. They're very close. And all of a sudden, you could see him going to the sideline, you know, just high-fiving with him, hugging with him.
Jerry was happy
and
about that.
In 3.5 years, this is how many 300- and 400-yard games he got. Mm. In 3.5 years.
It looked like he picked up where he left off last year.
It sure did.
With an L.
And as a coach, that's all you can wish for.
That would have walked into it look like to me.
You know what? The Cowboys used to be 0-7 when Zeke went
more
for
games
75
to
yards. And now what, Shannon? Now what? They're 1-7.
Zeke was just chilling yesterday. Yeah, but you'll see the Zeke game. By game 4, game 5, you'll see the real Zeke.
That's okay.
We'll see it.
We saw Cabo Zeke.
He didn't need him.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us. No mercy. So Antonio Brown's tenure with the Raiders is officially over, and AB is already working with Tom Brady to get up to speed with his new team in New England ahead of this week's game against the Dolphins. In an interview yesterday, Brady had high praise for his new teammate, but made sure the focus was still on getting to work. Take a listen.
Antonio, meeting him today, I really enjoyed being around him. He's a very smart football player, knows how to play the game. He's been extremely productive. I'm not buying into any hype or potential. I'm into work. He's into work. And our entire offense is into doing what's in the best interest of the team. And I'm really excited to get to practice on Wednesday.
All right. Wow. Super Bowl champ and Fox Sports college football analyst Reggie Bush joins us this morning. Reggie, this drama.
Yeah.
Is it going to work in New England?
Well, Tom Brady just told you everything you need to know right there. He put it out and laid it on the table for you. I don't care what you did before you got here. Mm-hmm. None of that matters. I don't care about the touchdowns, about the money you may have got or did not get. Mm-hmm. When you come to New England Patriots, there is a Patriot way, and there's a way that we do things. You have to be extremely unselfish. So by my standards, I don't think it's going to work on a 1-year prove-it deal because that's exactly what you have to do. You got to prove it.
for the next contract. You're playing this year for next year.
You are.
And so you go from a team that needs you to a team that does not need you. They got a ton of weapons over there. And so let's talk about the workload that he has in front of him, because it takes at least 2, 3, 4 months to learn a new system. I mean, to really know it, right? To know the checks, to know the reads. You also got to be able to adjust on the fly in real game time situation. AB is going to spend half the season just trying to learn the playbook. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to factor in the chemistry, right? That receiver quarterback chemistry, that takes years to build. That is not just plug and play. You don't just show up week one and say, I got Tom Brady, I'm ready to go ball out. Because there's a bunch of other guys in front of you that have been there since minicamp, OTAs, that have a significant head start.
Been there for years.
They've been there for years. They've been there for a while. And so if this was minicamp, OTAs, AB, I'll say, oh, yeah, it's going to work. But to think that you can just step into an organization like the Patriots and say, Tom Brady's my quarterback, I'm about to go ball out in week two when I don't even know anything about this team, I don't think that's going to work out. Mm-hmm. And I think that he has to be extremely unselfish as well, but also understand and know that, bro, you got a lot of work ahead of you, a lot. And then you have to go play football. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to work out by those standards. Wow.
Listen to Tom, he said something very interesting. He said, on offense, we play offense and we do what's in the best interest of the offense. Antonio Brown has always done what was in the best interest of Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. What happens, let's just say he's open and he doesn't get the ball. Now, we saw last year in Pittsburgh when he was open and he didn't get the ball, he throwing water coolers, he punting, he kicking everything. So what happens, he's open and he doesn't get the ball. The one thing you don't see from Patriots offensive players is bad body language.
Yeah.
Ain't no slumping no shoulders. Ain't no taking the heads off, I was open. Mm. Ain't no hands up like this, what are you going with the ball?
Yep.
At the end of the day, Skip, I just don't think it's going to work because I don't know how much Antonio Brown is going to be willing to change. Mm. See, for the longest time, he's been the man. Mm. And when you're the man, you get all the attention. I'm getting all the targets. The coach goes into the game like, how many different ways can we get Antonio the ball? Think what they do. Because on a given Sunday, a team might say, you know what, we're taking Tom Brady away, and Sonny Michel and Burkhead and those running backs run for 250.
Yep.
And you got to be perfectly fine for that. And then you watch Julio go for 275. You watch D-Hop go for 185. Mike Evans get 165. You got two catches for 14 yards.
That's real pressure, too.
Skip, because guess what? You can't be a top five receiver in that offense. Because Edelman get all them catches. Edelman get catches and – ain't nobody said Edelman's a top 10 receiver. Mm. It's going to be very interesting to see. I've said this before. I don't believe it's going to work because I believe at the heart of everything is his selfishness. Yeah. And he went to an organization that requires you to be selflessness. Mm. Selfless.
It's true. Good line.
It is good.
I predicted before this show that Reggie Bush would say this will work. And I'm surprised, pleasantly surprised, that you just said no. And you made some really strong football points I had not thought of, because you can't just snap your fingers and say, okay, let's go play. Now, you might be able to play at Miami because what's left of Miami.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Right? Oh, they just draw it up and they go along anyway. So
draw it up in the sand.
See what you can do.
Obviously, if any coach and quarterback can make this work, these two guys, because they're both watch us guys, like watch what we do with the guy with all the baggage. Watch what we've done with Josh Gordon. Yeah. But it took time with Josh Gordon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He had to figure it out. He had to figure out Brady, because there's no quarterback who requires more precise route running and timing than Tom Brady. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody does, because the ball is 1, 2, 3, gone.
Right.
Right? He's not going to do Deshaun. He's not going to wait and say, I'll duck under and scramble left and scramble right, and then I'll make a throw and you can hit me up under my chin while I'm making it. You know, he's not going to do it because he's 42 and he wants to play until he's 45.
Right. Yeah.
So the timing has to be precisely perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you can't snap your fingers and say, let's go in the backyard. Come stay at my house and let's go in the backyard on the day off and we'll figure it out. Right?
Right.
Will they? No, they won't figure it out.
And what do you hear about the Patriots offense? It's the most complex and complicated offense in all the NFL.
Okay. So, obviously, if they really wanted to break the system for this one player, they could say, let's give AB three routes to run.
Mm-hmm.
Just three simple routes, and we will feature him in the game plan with those three routes. And we'll practice those on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right.
Okay. And then that'll be enough.
Yeah.
Well, they don't he already said it. He said, we don't do that.
Yeah, you know, we run our offense.
Yeah.
Our offense is what it is, Skip.
You have to fit into their offense.
Right. They're not fitting an offense. They're not built. They built the offense around a guy. Yeah. It's number 12. They're not building the offense around another guy.
Okay. What receiver and quarterback have maybe the best chemistry in the league? It would be Edelman and Brady. Right.
Right?
Sure.
Because it's so much is required of that slot receiver on check with me's and option
that's,
routes.
But Skip, that's eight. That's seven, eight, 9 years in the making.
Yeah.
That ain't 8 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh Gordon is figuring it out, as we saw on Sunday night. And Philip Dorsett is starting to get it, but it took 3 years.
Right,
and he's starting to figure it out. And he finally got a deep route that he got free on and hit him right in the hands with it, right?
Right, yeah.
So now N'Keal Harry looked like he was just starting to get on Brady's page, and he hurt himself and he's gone for eight games. But trust me, he's a stud, man. He's and again, Belichick never has taken a receiver in the first round until this past draft, and he took N'Keal Harry from Arizona State.
Yep. Right.
So you don't think he's got a place here going forward?
But, Skip, it's easy. Look. Philip Dorsett catching a few passes is one thing because he was catching a few passes in Indy.
Yep.
It was easier for me to transition going from Denver to Baltimore because my production had started to decrease in Denver.
Yep.
Now, you catch me in the prime and I go to Baltimore and all of a sudden I'm catching 60 balls as opposed to the 80s. Now we're going to have a problem, Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. How do you go from catching 118, 127 all the way down to 55, 60?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So you go from a game where you might not get any targets because with the Patriots, the way they operate is it can be anybody. It could be Rex Burkhead.
Right.
It could be James White.
By the way, those two will get five or six targets a game.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Yes.
Because they feature the running backs in their passing game.
And Burkhead's really good.
Really good.
Yeah, and James White's really
James
good.
White.
Really good. Okay. So they'll have a couple routes for him.
Okay.
A couple easy routes. They won't throw him into the fire because – he won't be ready. There's no way he will be ready to understand the total complexity of this offense and to be able to play fast in it because ultimately in this offense, you have to be able to play fast.
Okay.
You cannot be out there second guessing your routes.
Right.
People telling you where to line up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
People telling you this is what you got on this play. Like they don't have time for that.
And so, somebody else might be ready to play November 1st.
Yeah.
His name is Rob Gronkowski. He might be ready to come back because he'll be healed up mentally and physically.
Yeah.
What if he does? What if N'Keal Harry and Gronk join this group?
Yeah.
And AB's in the middle of it. Help me out.
That pie getting smaller.
Okay.
That pie's getting a lot smaller.
Can AB get 8 or 10 targets a game?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I mean, there have been times when Gronk was the most dominant offensive player in all of football, and he wasn't getting 8, 9 targets a game.
Yeah.
Sometimes he only got 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're a chameleon offense. The defense will dictate what they're going to do on a given Sunday. Okay, y'all want to stop the run? Okay, Tom's going to throw for 400. Mm-hmm. Y'all going to play coverage? Okay, we're going to run for 250.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. And look, I didn't mind telling guys, Skip, rookies, young guys coming in there, where to line up and what they got to do. But at some point in time, I'm like, damn, dude, you getting a check, too? You need to study your playbook.
Yeah.
I got to worry about, what I got to line up and what I got to do on this adjust.
Mm.
And I got to tell you where to line up and what you got to do. Bro, get in that playbook.
Mm. And that playbook this thick, too.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's not small.
And have we ever heard that he's a guy who studies the game, or it's just come so easy that he hasn't had to?
Well, he's been in the same offense. He's been in the same offense his whole career.
It's not like he even really.
So it's like
Tom
don't really need to study, Skip. He hears the same plays over and over 20 years, and that's what's so amazing about him. I got tired of hearing 2-jet flanker drive. I got tired of hearing watch stick and bingo pick.
Yeah.
Tom has heard the same language.
Yeah, but what did you see in Tom versus Time? He sits at his computer at night. He's studying the opponent. Mm-hmm. He's not studying him. He's studying them.
Yeah. He already knows his stuff. Yeah. He knows his place.
Okay.
Well, we got to shift over to college football since we got Reggie here. And despite Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma rolling to another win over the weekend, the Sooners still dropped in the AP Top 25, falling from 4th to 5th after being, you know, leapfrogged by LSU.
Leapfrogged.
Quite a win. I know. I don't know if you were going to like that word. Skip, you have been all in on Jalen and the Sooners.
I have.
Do you have a problem with this?
I was outraged when I saw this. And I got a little outraged listening to the great Kirk Herbstreit do the telecast on Saturday night. Mm. I watched the whole game, and I love Kirk, and I'm usually right with Kirk in his evaluations and impressions and opinions. But as the game wore on, he was starting to make the case, LSU looks so good tonight, maybe they should vault to number one? And I believe that swayed some of the voters.
Interesting.
Like, to number one, I'm watching LSU give up 530 yards to Sam Ellinger and the Texas Longhorns, albeit in Austin. But LSU has gone from defense, all defense, to all offense and no defense. 530 yards, and all of a sudden you leapfrog a team, Oklahoma, that can only do what it does. You know, it can beat Houston, it can beat South Dakota.
Well, stop playing South Dakota. Right. It's like, you put them on the schedule.
What did St. Nick say the other day? We'll play anybody. You can't get anybody to play you.
Yeah, they scattered it. Yeah. Do you want to, is that what you want on your resume in the regular season? Boy. Do you really want Alabama in the regular season on your resume if you're not in the SEC? I don't think so.
You want Lincoln Riley's offense
I want
on your schedule? You do not.
I want them because, guess what? You don't keep that offense out there all the time. Mm. You got to play defense, and your defense is garbage. Mm. But anyway, Skip,
it's not as much garbage as it used to be.
Skip, look at LSU. Joe Burrow threw for the transfer from Ohio State, threw for the second most yards in LSU history.
Okay.
They had, for the first time in LSU history, three receivers go over 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, they're not a dot that I tossing to them. Mm-hmm. Now they're a throwing team. I think the coordinator came from with on the staff at the Saints. And they've, like, Edgeron said, oh, bro, whatever you want, you got my blessing.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's the way they're going to play. Now, Alabama got their work
and
cut out
Texas
for them.
Texas is a what conference defense? It's a Big
12. Big 12.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you blast the Big 12. You ridicule the Big 12. Yeah. You say anybody could throw for 600 yards.
That's why Jalen Hurts. That's why Jalen Hurts got 700 yards in two games. And there you go.
Okay.
And he had one 300-yard game.
So the biggest issue for me that I have is the fact that we have to have this conversation.
So
because
early.
There's only four teams they let in the playoffs,
right?
Like, why do I only get to see four teams play against each other in the playoffs, right? Because that'd be the same thing if it's in the NCAA in basketball, we just go right to the Final Four, right? To me, there are a lot of good teams out there. Auburn, Alabama, Texas, Clemson,
LSU,
Ohio State. Yep. There's some really good teams out there who I would love to see those teams duke it out and battle it out in a playoff system. But
how many? Eight, ten.
You know, I mean, they're
gonna say 12, and then they're gonna say 16.
Right.
And pretty soon it's gonna be just like hockey. Everybody getting the playoff.
No.
Yeah, I tell you what you do. All you gotta do is just win your games. Maybe get to your conference, win your conference. If you won all your games and lose the championship game, maybe you get a chance.
Yeah.
But don't be mad because we Bama.
Right.
And we there every year, the Alabama Invitational. We'll decide who gets invited.
I won't be mad if you take care of LSU for me. That game's at Tuscaloosa.
Right?
Really?
Why we need to take care of y'all for you? Do you handle y'all business? Y'all worry about Sam Ellinger.
We can't handle that business. We don't get to play LSU.
Texas got something for y'all.
We put up 70.
That's gonna be
LSU.
A fun one.
And
we'll
this is
be
the
that
best.
One.
This is the best LSU offense that we've ever seen. Ever.
I might even go to the Red River Rivalry. Go to that big county fair.
You guys, let's do the show from there.
We are.
Well, you guys are going to be there. I'll be there.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. Let's do the Red River.
Corn dogs.
Feel free.
Fried turkey legs.
I just want to go to the county fair.
Yeah, well, clearly you would be all about the fair. I'll work on that. I'll see what I can do.
Get them fried Twinkies. How them fried Twinkies do?
Real good. Don't worry. I've tried them. Don't worry, guys. You can catch Reggie every Saturday on Big Noon Kickoff, the new college football show on Fox. We're loving watching you guys. Thank you for coming in. Is it too early to start comparing the Cowboys' current weapons to their 90s dynasty?
No.
We're going to go there. That's next. No mercy. Some would call it a revenge game for the Saints. The well-documented non-call in last season's NFC Championship game helped the Rams advance to the Super Bowl in the league to allow pass interferences to be challenged. Now the Saints march into Los Angeles as a 2.5-point underdog, according to Fox Bet. Rams head coach Sean McVay said there were plenty of plays that occurred after the missed call to affect the outcome of that game. And we are now joined by former NFL head coach Jeff Fisher. Good to have you with us this morning, Coach.
Good morning.
So I want you to think about this. If you were Sean Payton, would you try and put the non-call behind you or use it as motivation for
this one? It's already behind them. It's unlikely that the Coliseum is going to be full of Saint fans with official shirts on. So, I mean, I think it's over. You know, they had the whole offseason to deal with it. And, you know, as Coach says, there's plenty of other plays in the game that could have, you know, that could have made a difference. So it's definitely
sharp. Yeah.
I'd be more concerned about the tight end if I was the Rams right now. And Jared Cook.
Okay.
Sean McVay, it's easy for Sean McVay to say that.
Yeah.
There were plenty of other calls because he was on the winning side.
True.
Try telling that to Sean Payton. But Because the call was so egregious, they changed the rules. And I think the thing is that they talked about it so long. Sean Payton, I don't know if Sean has gotten over it. I don't know if he's talking about it, Coach, but I don't know if he's really gotten over it. He asked his owner to write a letter. She wrote a letter to the NFL.
Well, you've been in the big games,
yes.
Okay? Fortunately for you, you've been on the winning side.
Right.
Okay? Losing the Super Bowl is very, very difficult to get over. But this set of circumstances where you don't go because of
that
a play, yep. I would suggest that that's more difficult than losing the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I said the day after, it was the worst non-call in the history of this league because of the magnitude and the circumstance. And as I watch it again right now, it just gets worse by the viewing to me.
Even still.
Yeah. Nickell Roby Coleman said yesterday, who was obviously in the middle of it, he was the culprit. And he fessed right up after the game, which sort of made it worse, you know, like for the Saints. Like, he just said, yeah, I did it. Because I thought I was so beaten, I just had to do it. But it was so egregious that it's still hard. It's mind-boggling to watch that again and say, how did three refs within sort of striking distance, how could nobody reach for a flag?
Well, they've been talking about that since the play. I think we're two or three more days of it, and it's going to be put behind us. Now, we're going to be reminded throughout the year as you get a call or a non-call here, an OPI or a DPI, and it's reviewed and it's not overturned or this happens, because anytime you put a rule in like that, you've got these, quote, unintended consequences.
Right.
And you know.
And by the way, you've been on that competition.
Yeah, I was on it for 15 years. Yeah. So you're going to have things that come up. That's why they put it in for a year, and we'll just see what happens. But
what's your gut feeling on it?
I think it stays in, but it's going to be modified. You know, we had some plays this weekend where, you know, defensive holding was called and DPI wasn't called just because they were concerned about going to review or not.
Right.
You know, you got all those things. You got OPI, DPI, you got picks on the line of scrimmage. None of those things have come up. So bottom line is this. It's going to have to be like that, I think, to have a play overturned, or the helmet's going to have to come off, or like everybody used to say back when, Mike Holmgren used to say this, if 50 guys in a bar think it's DPI, it's DPI, so call it, you know. So that's kind of where I think it's going. But a few more days of this.
So,
once we get the kickoff.
Just as a coach, are you okay that can now be reviewed?
Yes, but you better be very clear in your mind. The timeouts are so precious, and you better have a good feel for the way they're going to look at it. It has to be obvious, and you can't nitpick in the second half to try to, you know, get a first down, because they're not going to overturn it.
So to me, the professional, the NFL DPI penalty is so penal because it's a spot foul. And I was watching a lot of college football, and you see kids every week, if they get beaten, they just grab and hold because it's only 15 yards.
Right.
What would you rather do? Give up a touchdown or a 15-yard penalty?
Right.
Well, sure, you're almost coached to just tackle the guy,
well,
right?
It comes up every year early in the offseason with the committee. They want to go to the college rule. Let's look at the college rule for a year. Let's see.
Okay.
And it's always shot down just because
of that. Yeah,
we can't change it. But, you know, it's a huge field position change now.
Right.
When that call is incorrect
or
there's
60
not a call.
Yards,
right.
You know, like.
And I always go back to this. It's the human element in the game. And if we just understand that as a premise, that they're going to make mistakes, and replay should be there to overturn the obvious mistakes, there are going to be mistakes in the game, or we don't have things to talk about like this.
I like the rule change when the turnover is involved. Was it a pick? Was it not a pick? Was it a fumble? Was it not a fumble? But when you start talking, that's a subject. See, a fumble or interception, that's really not subjective. P.I. is really like, oh, I think he did it, and I threw the flag. Or, so when you start doing that, you're opening up Pandora's box. And because the thing is that you get the Hail Mary at the end of the half, the end of the game, Fish. How are they going to, you know, that's when you're like, okay, there's a lot of grabbing. There's a lot of holding going on. And somebody's going to lose a game because on a Hail Mary, they're going to throw that flag. And then you got to see what I'm going to say. See, this is what you asked for. You open door A, but you didn't realize all what was behind door A.
Exactly. You're going to – now, this is going to be a replay review. It's not a coach's challenge
because
it's the end of the half or end of the game. But, yeah, and it has to be clear and obvious, so you're going to have to jerk somebody down. It'll be the first call in the history of the NFL where it was made and put the ball in the 1 yard line with no time left and you extend the period. So you got all those different things to look at.
I'm okay. If I can see clearly upon one review, I just need one replay that they tackled the intended target of the Hail Mary in the end zone with no time left,
you're good.
Well, then, okay, put it at the 1 yard line.
I mean, well, because of that, you're going to, as coaches, you're going to coach it different.
Right.
Yes, you
okay,
are.
Make sure you don't grab. Make sure you're in your position. Right. Make sure you're back and moving forward towards the ball and batting the ball down.
Right.
And don't catch the, you know, all those things. It's going to be different. You saw some things this past weekend, enforcement with respect to replay. Even in the Saint game, I think, you know, Sean was kind of, what are you doing? Well, there's a 10-second runoff if you got a running clock.
Right.
That was because of a play in their game 5 years ago. And so could you imagine the defender intercepting the ball and running around getting tackled, and then the opponent challenging it because he pushed off before he got it, and now it goes to review, and now the ball is rewarded to the it's incomplete, and it comes back, and now you got to run time, put more time back on it. What down is it? And you know, there's a lot. Those are the unintended consequences that they you know.
Do you have any call in your career that still sticks in your craw where you look back and say we really got robbed there? Is there one that you remember?
Yeah, it was a bizarre ending. It was end of a game against Baltimore in Tennessee, and we were running out of time.
Monday night game.
It was I think it was an afternoon. But anyway, Steve, we were running out of time. We didn't have tight ends, and he sneaks the ball in the end zone. But as we score, it's a hurry up, and the defense, the Ravens defense, is not set, and they're kind of jumping through the gaps to get set. And so the referee says, due to the magnitude of the play, I'll never forget this, we're going to have one untimed down.
Uh-huh.
So we had an untimed down, didn't get in.
Yeah. I think that was a Monday night game, Fisher. I think that was my last year in Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, you were there. I know that. You remember that.
Yeah, I think it was
were you there?
And you were totally fine with the ruling.
So you stole another game?
Yeah. Well, they had four cracks to get it in, so. We could give them a fifth down.
Did they score on the play in question? Yes, they did.
No,
time was
out. But I mean on the play we're talking about.
Yes.
He scored, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's great for Steve because he had the presence of mind just to sneak it because the clock's rolling, time's rolling, and he just got it in, and then he didn't.
Was that the year you played in the playoffs?
No, the year after.
The year after
that,
Because that year I was there covering that game. That was the most physical football game I ever witnessed was the Ray Lewis versus
Divisional round
Georgia.
Really?
Oh,
ever.
It was.
We had some
It
battles.
Was blood and guts, man.
You're still getting massages for that.
There were battles in that game.
Wow, it's crazy to think you're still remembering those moments, though. There's always going to be one. Everyone
you know, as you
one.
Get older, you forget everything, but as coaches, we remember those things.
That one.
But you do remember. You remember more of the losses than you do the wins. I remember the Super Bowl wins are fine, but I remember the loss that we had to Jacksonville. You remember the losses way more than
you bring it up like every other day.
Because
Mark Brunell. Way to go, Mark.
I remember dropping a touchdown against Buffalo that would have gave us home – not Buffalo, against the Raiders that would have given us home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
The Raiders?
You
still think about it? 91,
Seriously?
We had to go to Buffalo. We were 12-4. They had a better conference record, and we lost 10-7.
91.
They went to the Super Bowl, and we didn't.
And you still talk
to – Algie Crumpler dropped a ball on its side.
But that's what makes you such a competitor. It's those moments that probably fueled you.
No,
for
that's
the rest
what
of your
he talks
career.
To his therapist about today. Right?
Fuels him to this day against this guy.
That and he wants to wear that watch.
We've had a lot of watch talk on the show.
Sure, they're going to ban me from wearing a watch on the show. No hard objects on the show. Yeah, that's what they told me.
Okay. We don't want to go there. Good stuff. So good to have you, Jeff. Odell Beckham Jr. says he will continue to wear his high-end designer watch during games. The NFL planned to talk to OBJ about the watch, citing that players aren't allowed to wear hard objects on the field. Odell said the watch is plastic and therefore, by the letter of the law, is allowed. The receiver also said he was just being targeted, and if it wasn't the watch, then he would have been criticized for how he tied his shoes. Shannon, should Odell be allowed to wear this watch?
Hell no. Mm. But if there's no way, there's nothing in the manual that says how you tie your shoe isn't allowed. They said hard objects isn't allowed. Now, Richard Mille said this watch is indestructible. Mm. So how hard must...
it correctly.
Richard Mille's.
Thank you.
So how hard must this plastic be, Skip, if it's indestructible?
Some hard plastic.
Yeah, really hard.
Odell, is this where you want to plant your flag? This is where you want to set up shop. This is where you say, you know what? I'm dropping anchor here. A watch. And then he said, Skip, I don't want it to be about the watch, but I want it to be about football. Well, hell, stop wearing the watch and play football. You know, and he said, he tweeted, like, if it's not one thing, it's something else. Odell, do you realize why you're in Cleveland? Because that's what the Giant ownership said. If it's not one thing
that's
with
exactly
you,
what
it's
they
something
said.
Else.
I agree.
And said, you know what? We wanted to be something else with someone else. We getting you up out of here. A year after giving pay and making them the highest paid receiver, they said, you know what? We'd rather move on without you. He doesn't get it, Skip. And he wants them to make an exception. The exception is you can't wear hard jewelry on the field. That's the exception. They're not making an exception for you, Odell. Why don't you get that? What? That's what I don't get. Look, AB got attention for the wrong reason. Odell, you do realize that. AB was getting attention for all the wrong reasons.
Yep.
Now you get garnering attention. See, we talking about a watch. We ain't talking about they just lost, Skip. They just lost by 30. We ain't even mentioned that. We talking about a watch.
Yeah. Yep.
Not the game, a watch. A Richard Mille.
So to speak, Odell is saying, watch this, as in watch me.
Yes.
Wear my watch on Sunday. Because he has, like so many diva receivers, attention deficit disorder, right? He needs attention and he's not getting enough, so I'll wear my watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now he's claiming that it's become a permanent fixture on his wrist, as in he wears it in the shower, he sleeps with it, he never takes off his new watch.
Yeah.
He loves his new orange banded watch.
Sounds so like he's a just, child.
It's kind of childish.
Yeah, like a blanket, like Lionel in the blanket. Skip, you don't you'll never see Lionel without that blanket.
Security watch, guys.
It's a security it's a watch
thing.
Because we all know during football games you need to know what time it is.
Yeah. Right? Well, look, I guess he got off early. Yeah. They only scored 13 points, so he like, oh, yeah, I'm just overtime here. The game over with. Now we
go.
I'm not getting enough targets. I got to get out of here.
Skip. Of all the things that you can stand up and say, you know what, I'm upset at the NFL about. I'm upset about not having guaranteed contracts. I'm upset about not having lifetime medical benefits. Of all the things, you want to take a stand against a watch. Normally, Skip, if I'm on...
And by the way, real quick point. You played for a long time. I covered for a long time. Has any player ever worn a watch other than you brought up...
Reggie Roby,
but he was... it was a stopwatch.
Yes, yes.
To time the flights of his punts.
And Skip, that was back in the late 80s, 90s. Maybe they changed the rule for that very reason.
Maybe.
But there's a reason with Cass, Skip, they have their... You check. You know, cast is not made of concrete.
No.
They're made of a hard substance, but they don't want people out there with that hard substance cracking people side the head. Well, if that watch is, Richard Mille said that watch is indestructible. If something is indestructible, Skip, how hard must it be?
Hard as your head.
But right? I don't, Skip, this what I can't understand. But why, Odell? Okay, you got the attention. You got a $200,000 watch. And you got so much bread, you can play in it, and if something were to happen to it, no problem, bro, I'm good. But, Odell, just take the watch off and just ball out. You better than this. You better than this, bro.
If it's not one thing, it's another.
And that's
if it's not proposing to the kicking net, it's the video in the Paris hotel room, right? Okay.
I just don't get it. You got attention. You got the attention that whether you wanted it or not, but you can't say you want to make it about football when you're doing other things besides playing the game of football. I mean, you didn't have it with the Giants? So did Odell have this watch with the Giants, Skip? I never saw Odell with a watch on when he played with the Giants. So it just became a thing this year. Because I guess, you know, Skip, you're not in New York. You know, people don't notice you as much.
They don't. That is a fact. And it's, I think, very significant. He's not a paid spokesman for this company.
Yeah.
He's just doing it on his own for attention.
You gotta love the PR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's auditioning.
Well, they need to give me a little something because I keep on mentioning his name, Rashad Meehan.
Yeah, do it again. Say it again.
Rashad Meehan. Okay.
If we could get one to just examine.
Yeah, let me see one. One of them old pieces like Jay-Z got. He got one of like 10, I think, called like 3/4 of a meal.
Really?
Or that one the doll had on at the U.S. Open.
Yep.
I'd like to have that one myself.
Would you?
Yeah. Nah, I'm in the paddocks. Huh. Skip, we are trying to get a paddock for Lee. Yeah, why don't you help your boy out? They might give you one. Say you one.
No, sorry.
Man, I don't want that Seiko.
I got my Seiko. It's my good luck charm.
It's destructible. Yeah. It's not like that piece that Odell got. That is very destructible.
I would say. But he says, well, how can you wear a knee brace? Aren't those hard objects? Yeah, but they have a purpose.
Yeah.
Your watch does what exactly for you?
Got Skip and Shannon talking about it. Yep. On Undisputed.
Here we are.
Correct.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Day 2. Yep. You want to like OBJ, but you
know. Skip, when I dislocated my elbow, I had to have a brace on, but I had to have a soft cover over the top of it. I just couldn't have the brace out there.
Yep. Hard object.
Is it hard object? Mm-hmm. Nah, I ain't wearing that pad. I ain't wearing the pad on top of it. I would just want to play with the brace.
Hmm.
Really? So that's the fight. Of all the fights you can pick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so does Freddie need to get in the mix here and say, stop doing this? Take
Freddie
the watch off?
Freddie happy to have a job. Freddie ain't going to say nothing.
Freddie admitted he did not notice. How can you not see that your famous whiteout comes out wearing a watch?
He's got to notice
now. Hey, Freddie, it's time for you to call me another play. Yeah. I done gone 2 minutes without getting the ball thrown in my direction. You know what time it is.
Yeah.
I think it's hard considering every drama with OBJ, and the last thing we talk about is how he actually performs on the field. We haven't talked about it in so long.
Well, at least he took the focus off 43-13.
Yeah.
He's trying.
But everything that's happened to Odell, Skip, is self-inflicted.
Mm.
I know.
This is all Odell. The Josh Norman situation, the kicking nets, all of this is self-inflicted. This is not made up. We didn't make like we need something to talk about. Odell did this. Mm. And he knew he got exactly what he had hoped for.
Mm.
Now, it won the game.
Yep.
But no, you can't wear that, Odell. Just take it off. I promise you, you're still going to be OBJ without that watch.
Hmm.
Maybe
because
better.
You were OBJ before you got the watch.
I got to tell you, when the weather turns cold out there in Cleveland, as he refers to it, he's going to be get a little lonesome out there for the Big Apple.
Hmm. He's got to get over himself. Yep. That's all I have to say about it. I'd like to move on from the watch game. Until we get one to just make sure it is indestructible, we'll have to move on from now on.
No mercy.
We have heard so much about her and have so many questions. Finally, she's live in the flesh in studio. Ernestine, welcome to Undisputed.
Thank you for having me.
This is a bad idea.
Here we go.
I am about to lose my first debate ever on this show. And look what she's already done to me, and I didn't know this was coming. She has upstaged me on Black Friday. She's in all black.
It's Black Friday. Isn't that what you have to
y'all
say?
Y'all playing it. Ernestine, just playing it. You didn't plan this. No,
I didn't plan it, but, you know, it's the Johnny Cash thing. You know, you got to go out fighting.
She's Mrs. Cash.
Mrs. Cash today.
Yeah.
She's also a published author. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
A book coming out today.
I do, today.
On Amazon. It's called Balls, How to Keep Your Relationship Alive When You Live with a Sports-Obsessed Guy. So let's jump right into it. I imagine there was a little inspiration in your own household, but why'd you write this book?
There was. I know nothing about sports. I knew nothing about sports. I do know a whole lot about sports now. But 14 years ago, when I met this lovely man, I absolutely had no idea what sports was. I did not come from a sports family. My dad liked baseball occasionally. My brother liked soccer. But I had never been to a football game in my life. And to this day, I still have not been to a football game in my life. Mm. That is the truth.
You won't be going because he doesn't go either.
That is also the truth. And so I...
Well, you did go in the marching band, right?
That's true. The closest I ever came to being at a football game was I played clarinet and I was in the marching band. So that was the closest I ever came to being at a live football game.
So quick story. I'm at a show called Cold Pizza. She and I had each gotten out of long-term relationships shortly before this happened, and you were working in a big PR firm in New York City. That show was based at 34th and 8th in the old New Yorker Hotel in the basement, and she, as a PR executive, brought...
Kevin Dillon from Entourage, and so I had to...
To be on Cold Pizza.
I booked Kevin on Skip's show, and I said, oh, why not? I'm going to go. And I walked into the green room, and then this guy passes the door by and backs
up. Why
did
the guy pass by? For the first and last time in my career, because you can attest to this. I left my notes for our final segment in my dressing room. Mm-hmm. Never done it before or since. So this is meant to be. I literally ran, because we have 3 minutes or so, ran down a long hall past the green room toward my dressing room. And as I passed, she waved, hi. And I stopped in my tracks.
But this was the funniest story. Before the past relationship I was in, he would watch sports, and he was at my apartment one day watching the game, and then he had a show on. And I said, hey, what's that show that you're watching? He said, oh, these two guys debate each other. He said, this guy is really good. This guy's an idiot. And the idiot was Skip. And
I remember, he was watching Cold Pizza.
He was watching Cold Pizza. And I remember thinking, well, he's kind of nice looking. And then
it
went out of my head.
So I have 30 seconds when I stop and look at her, and I think I said, do I know you?
Yeah, he said, do you know me?
She said, I'm Ernestine. And I'm like, yeah, and? And she handed me her card. She said she lived at 50.
Well, he was getting me so confused and nervous. He was interrogating me within 2 minutes.
This is in 30 seconds.
He said, hi, where do you live? Who are you here with? And I was so confused. I lived at 52nd and 1st. I'm like, I live at 51st and 2nd. And I was so out of my head. And then he said, well, I have to go. And I said, well, if you ever need PR, here's my card. And so I gave him my card.
And the rest is history.
And later
was love at first sight.
It was love at
literally first sight. So we end up soon going on our first date, and I've told this story before, and she despises the story, but I told her right out of the box because I knew this had a chance to go somewhere.
So we go to First Avenue Pizza Place, a whole wheat pizza place.
And I said, hey, if this ever goes anyplace, you will always be 1A in my life because I'm married to this, as you know. And little did she know how married I am, as you know, to watching games.
Well, he told me, the first night after we emailed for 2 weeks, he said, why don't you call me tonight and we can speak on the phone? I just have to watch a Yankees game. And I thought, oh, that's nice, he's watching a Yankees game. Then I didn't know the magnitude of him watching sports. He said, well, I watch sports. And then it was sports and sports. And so after that, I said, how am I going to deal with this guy? And my mother, who was from the Lower East Side of Manhattan and had lived many years, she said, listen, this guy is a good guy. She said, if he wants to watch a game with you, he doesn't want to go to Hooters, he doesn't want to hang out with his friends, why don't you just watch the game? So I said, okay. But then one game became another game, and after that, the book came out of, because I've learned so much about dealing with a guy who loves sports, and all of the women that are out there that have guys that are like Skip, but only mine is magnified by 1,000%, I have tips and tricks along the way of how to keep it alive.
And the most tips and tricks come from my Jinx demons, because I got them. You have some.
I do.
And by the way, the 1A thing, which always gets me a little antsy here, I have become number one, and the job has become 1A. So that's let's
just there you go, understand. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not living in the father knows best days here. I'm not no subservient woman, so this is number one.
I will concede that.
Thank you.
To you
okay.
Before we
appreciate
get into
that.
The clashing that is about to ensue,
there we go.
Because she still doesn't get the Jinx rules. The first huge violation came last year in the playoffs. The Tom Brady at my homeboy game in the AFC Championship game. What happened early in that game? It's already 7-0 New England, and New England is driving and winds up with 3rd and goal from the 1-yard line. What would Tom Brady not do in that circumstance?
Turn it over.
So what does she know? I told her, I need 3 hours. This is it. This is our biggest game. We're going to lead with this, right?
Yep.
Although then something happened in the Saints game that we kind of preempted that. But the point is that it's 3rd and goal from the 1, and I told her, just don't bother me. Don't open the door. I'm in my room watching my 2 TVs, but this time it's just 1 big TV. And she opens the door right on cue and sticks her head in and says, hey, I got this. Did I give you this letter? I don't know what
there
this letter is.
There was a certified letter that came. I found it, and it was on the weekend. And I said, oh, my God, this is an important letter.
So
he needs this letter.
As God is my witness,
that was the only reason.
I go like this. No.
Right.
And I barely get the no out. And Tom Brady raises up and throws it right to Reggie Ragland, the linebacker for Kansas
City.
Good
job, Ernestine.
Look at this. He throws it right to Reggie Ragland.
Right.
Rookie from Alabama. Wasn't he a rookie last year from Alabama?
No.
So he hits him, and I fall on the floor, and one of our biggest fights ever ensues, and I still haven't gotten over it. She gets over it a lot faster than I do.
once again, I say, Skip, how can I change that game? Because I opened the door? This is insane.
She always says, I'm in Century City in Los Angeles, and what I just because I opened a door, it changed the game in Kansas City? Yes, it changed the game in Kansas City.
And then we have Hazel, our little Maltese that we love, which it's his daughter. All of a sudden, I'm in the house looking for Hazel, and Hazel disappears. And then I hear Hazel, I can't find her, and then I go towards Skip's room. Hazel's in with Skip, and then I realize, and I hear him saying, okay, just sit here, it's okay, okay, watch the game with me. He uses her like a little four-leaf clover, a little Buddha. So Buddha girl is in there, and only when the game starts losing, his team is losing, he boots her out and then shuts the door, and she's scratching at the door. She wants to get back in, and but
so this has happened so many times that I keep telling her, it works or it doesn't work. So what just happened a week ago last night, opening Thursday night, Green Bay at Chicago. I had picked Chicago. You had picked Aaron Rodgers.
I did.
And I unfortunately picked Mitchell Trubisky, but that's a whole nother story. So Green Bay, the first three possessions in the first quarter, goes for a grand total of minus 19 yards. You remember this?
Yep.
So first possession of the second quarter, it's first and 10 at the 25. I had told her, she said, do you want me to fix your dinner? And I said, sure, but she knows the rules. Bring it at halftime, or at least wait until the quarter's
and we
over.
We also live on New York Times, so when I say to him, hey, I'm in the kitchen. Hey, do you want your dinner? I'm going to make something to eat. It's 5 o'clock. Well, yeah, it's 8 o'clock. And I'm like,
we live on New York Time because we have to.
I get up at 2 o'clock,
but I look at my watch.
So I'm living in a parallel universe along with the Jinx world.
Okay, so what happens? She comes barging in the door, and I turned her and I said, watch what's about to happen. I told you, as God is my witness, I said, watch what's about to happen.
I changed the
game. Aaron Rodgers takes the snap. They do a little fake reverse action, if we could see this play. And he throws like the equivalent of a punt, like a Hail Mary, and it goes up in the sky and down, and all of a sudden it comes right down to Valdez Scantling for the game-breaking completion of the game. Did it not break the game open? It did. And I said, look what you just did.
How can I
look what you just did. She did it. She did it.
You had no idea how powerful you are. You need to start bidding yourself out.
I deal with this man for 2.5 hours a day. And I'm exhausted. When I leave here, I'm exhausted.
I know.
How you've done this for 14 years.
I don't know.
For 20 plus hours a day.
There is a sainthood. There is a sainthood for me somewhere.
There is. She is saintly.
Oh, my God. The jinxes and the craziness.
Her biggest compromise, she kept trying to like football. She has a hard time with football. It's a little too complicated. Plus, they wear helmets.
I can't see the faces.
She can't see the face.
I can see the butts.
But guess
the butts
what
are great. The faces,
you know,
I can't see.
I'm a lifelong Spurs fan.
Right.
So she started watching Spurs, and then she started watching NBA, and she fell in love with the NBA because you can see faces, and physiques.
And the only way that I can actually sit 4 hours through a game is I came up with this little concoction idea. I pick out the cute guys. So the cute guys give me a reason to watch the game. So now
and you root for them.
Yes, I've invested my time. So then I sit with Skip, and then I really like a couple of guys, and I'll say to Skip, hey, it's a really important part of the game. Hey, is he married? Yeah, he's married.
And she got to know all the Spurs backstories.
He's married.
Tim Duncan was married, but now he has a girlfriend.
When you're watching the game with him, can you root against his team?
Well, if we turn to a certain player, I can, as in Kawhi. Kawhi is one of my favorites.
I can't believe you just said his name.
Oh, God.
On the show.
Oh, no. I will not say what
we
you
have
call
an ongoing
him is number
flash
whatever.
Over number two.
Yeah.
Because I am so out, as we just talked on number two, and she still loves him.
I love him. He was a Spur. Right. He was amazing.
So we fight about this constantly.
Well, see, that's how does it look. You cannot sit with me and root against somebody I'm rooting for. You got to go. You got to go.
No.
So I get that, Skip. You can't sit. Whoa.
Well,
we're in this together. We're a team.
But I tone it down. I don't really.
You undercover root.
I go in the other room and I'm rooting.
Subtly.
I do. And
but
even
the only rule is if she's watching a Spurs game, especially a big one or a playoff game, if she starts watching, she can't stop.
He
she can't leave because if they
the
get off to
room
a good start, she always ask her before, are you going to stay? Do you want to walk? Because I'm happy for her to
watch. I have to make sure that I've emptied my bladder before I go, because otherwise I say to him, well, if I have to go to the ladies' room, I'm sorry. No, you have to stay.
They're 18. We got to
stay. Yeah, Skip, that's a bit much. I thought I was a bit over the top. Yeah, Skip, you might be a little bit too much. Yep.
These rules are very complicated. Mm-hmm. Pull back the curtain for us at home. Uh-huh. What is he really like?
Well, first off, we do not have a moderator living with us, so we can't debate that much. So
we need
we Hazel occasionally, and Hazel resides with him on the weekends. Somehow she loves him on the weekends. He is, if I have to be totally honest, and I will, he's a very spiritual, kind, caring, funny, contrary to what you may think. He is very funny at home, and we have a lot in common, and he's got a heart of gold, and so...
Thank
we just
you.
Have a lot of fun.
I concur.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And a lot of people ask me that all the time, Ernestine. What's he really like? I say he's as genuine as they come. I say do not let the persona that you see as he and I debate back and forth. Mm-hmm. I say the man, when I say he will literally give you the shirt off his back, he would.
He will.
I sit across from that man because he vouched for me. Mm-hmm. I said I was the first guy, professional athlete, to sit directly across from him. He's a journalist background.
Right.
I said, you look at all the other formats. You look at PTI, Around the Horn, all those people that do that are journalists.
Yes.
He says, I want a professional athlete because professional athletes normally can talk about their sport.
Sure.
But I believe Shannon can talk about basketball, baseball, anything that we come up with, he'll do his homework. So he good with me. And our hood. Skip Bayless can come to the cookout anytime.
He can drive me a little crazy with, he loves Die Hard and he has to recite every line when we're watching the movie and I can't watch the movie and I say, can I hear Bruce talking the line instead of you? But other than that, he's okay to live with.
Okay.
And Shannon's in your book too, right?
Oh, Shannon is in my book. That's right. Shannon is one of my featured celebrities.
Little Wayne
and Billy Bob Thornton and Kevin Dillon and Vince Gill, the wonderful singer. And
about their issues.
And Michael Rappaport, who's on your network sometimes.
So let me say publicly, I love you very much.
I love you too, Skip.
I wouldn't be what I am without you.
Thank you.
And just for the record, you are number one because I do give you every waking second outside of this job. I don't do anything but her. Friday night is date night, unless LeBron's playing or...
And the Spurs.
And we watch Jeopardies. We watch all our Jeopardies, and he has to win. I mean, of course, I do win sometimes, but I don't mind losing just because I don't know everything in the world, but he minds losing.
Yes, he is a very, very sore loser.
I'm a sore loser. Bottom line, we have been together now for 14 years. Never for one second am I ever bored with her, and that's my bottom line. We always have fun.
Either.
We always have fun.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So thank you.
Thank you.
So you know what? You did okay.
Thanks. Sigh of relief from Skip.
Date night still on tonight?
Yeah, we may have date night tonight.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Did he brief you? Well, don't say this.
He briefed me at 3:15 while I was on the treadmill and he was on the bike. We had to go over the list, so it was okay.
That was really sweet, what you said. A whole different side of Skip Bayless. And Ernestine, congratulations.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate you letting me come on and having me as a guest.
I think, Ernestine, you got your knee in his back in that photo. Yeah, that's why you got a little wry smile.
I'm pinching him. Thank you,
Of course,
Jen.
This is the last Thank one you. She's going to be on.
No, she can come back anytime.
It's the only one and only time. I have to write another book to be able to do it.
And the book's available as of today.
Today on Amazon.
Congratulations. Okay. Can't wait to check it out.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Up next on Undisputed, will the New Orleans Saints get revenge from that gut-wrenching NFC Championship game? We'll talk about that one when we get back.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.